This time last year, I was feeling pretty weary. It was pretty hard to kind of try and muster up energy for the Christmas season. It was the first time ever in my life that I never sent Christmas cards. And I usually love doing that. We put together a Christmas letter. We send a Christmas card out to all of our friends and family all over the world. But last year, I just couldn't stomach it. And you know, that weariness that I experienced at Christmas time kind of seemed to come in waves this year. Sometimes it came in the middle of lockdowns. Sometimes it just seemed to come unexpectedly. And it just seemed to come like a brick wall. And whenever it hit me, I would just go home and I would just lie down on the sofa and just do nothing. And in those moments, if I'm honest, I haven't felt like rejoicing. You know, the whole, you know, theme of this month leading up to Christmas is a weary world rejoices. But when I was weary, the last thing that I wanted to do was to rejoice. And I'm sure I'm not alone this evening. Look, I've had lots of things this year to rob me of my peace. And like Proverbs 12, sometimes our anxiety can weigh us down. Anxiety in a person's heart weighs it down. You know, anxiety is the most common mental health condition in Australia today. And we're anxious about many things in our lives. From an early age, we start to worry about what people think of us. At school, you know, we start to worry about our grades. We start to worry whether we're going to be able to pass our exams or not. And then, you know, whenever we get to high school, we start to worry even more about our exams, and we start to think about, well, am I going to be able to go to university? And when we get to university, we start thinking, well, am I actually going to be able to get through university? And if I get through university, we start thinking about, well, what kind of jobs am I going to get? Am I going to be able to get that job or that job? And even if I get that job, am I going to be able to keep that job? Am I going to get married? Or am I ever going to get married? Or I wonder if I'm marrying the right person. And we can worry about, well, I wonder if I'm going to stay being married. Or if I'm not happy in my marriage, am I going to be able to stick it out? Or when is my happiness going to return to my marriage? When is the unhappiness going to go away? And we can also worry about that as well. And then we start to worry about our kids. And here, the kind of way the anxiety seems to go through the roof. You know, I remember my son Ray, whenever he was small, he kind of way, he stuck his finger in the faucet in the bathroom, and I yelled out to my wife, come on, Yoriko, my wife came in and said, look what he can do. And like we were like completely bowled over by how incredibly he could kind of stick his finger in the faucet. We didn't have much expectations for our kid. But then suddenly you start having expectations for your kids. How are my children? How are they going to turn out? Are they going to be able to make it in life? Are they going to be able to make friends? Are they going to be able to get through life? Are they going to be able to get through school? Are they going to be able to get through life? And we keep worrying and worrying and worrying and worrying and worrying. And not only that, but then we start to worry as a parent to think, well, am I doing a good enough job as a parent? Not just as a parent, we begin to worry that we're really not good at anything. Sometimes we feel like, you know, the pace of Australian life, the pace of modern life, we just can't keep up. And then there is the worry about money. And about mortgages, and about the future. And anxiety in any of those areas, it can kind of start kind of being able to turn into a whole string of different worries. What happens if I don't buy a house? You know, am I ever going to get into the housing market? When am I going to get into the housing market? And if I don't get into the housing market today, am I going to miss out? But what happens if I do buy a house? Am I going to be buying the house in the right place? And if I do buy a house in the right place, well, what's going to happen if I buy the house, and then what happens if I lose my job and I can't pay the mortgage? What's going to happen then? Will I still be able to pay for the house? And each worry just seems to add its own anxiety, and it begins to weigh us down. And our pack, you know, it seems already pretty full, but along comes a global pandemic. And along with the anxiety of COVID comes a whole range and a whole new different kinds of worries. Might as well dip them all in. You know, remember the days in which we used to, you know, driving into a parking to get a, can I get the parking? Do I touch the parking? If I do touch the, what's going to happen? Am I going to get the ticket? Am I going to get, you know, the COVID by just touching to get a ticket from the park? When I go to put my petrol in the car, should I be wearing gloves? There's just a whole range of different things that we begin to worry about. And then Omicron comes. And with Omicron, you know, I almost bought tickets a few weeks ago to fly back to Northern Ireland to see my family. $1,400 with Swiss Air. I thought, sweet, wonderful. I was just about to buy it, and then Omicron happens. And then now I have no idea next year whether I'm going to be able to get back home to see my family. I have no idea. But do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like that? Do you feel like that right now this evening? You know, weighed down by many anxieties. And, you know, it can be pretty hard to carry. You know, at the minute, you know, this backpack feels pretty good, but after 15, 20 minutes, this is going to feel pretty sweaty on my back. I did this at church this morning, and I went and gave somebody a hug, and they gave me a hug and said, "Ooh, your back's all sweaty. I just want to be wearing a backpack for the last 20 minutes when I've been preaching." Do you ever feel weighed down by your anxieties? It's pretty hard to carry. But notice that the weight, the heaviness, is only one part of the verse. Anxiety in a person's heart weighs it down, but a good word cheers it up. Now, I'm not even going to attempt to give you any good words this evening to kind of cheer you up, but rather, I'm going to give you some words from Jesus, you know, the Prince of Peace, from Matthew chapter 6. And I want to encourage you this evening with his words, and I want to encourage you this week to mull over these words as you would mull over your presents this week for Christmas, or you mull over food over these next few weeks. Three times the Lord Jesus says in these verses, "Do not worry." And you know, as soon as we hear those words, you know, "we do not worry," we can become a bit cynical, because the words don't give us much comfort, because we know how attached we are to worry and anxiety. And we also know that anxiety, it can be a pretty serious medical condition with severe psychological and physical side effects. And so whenever Jesus says, "don't worry," Jesus can sound a little bit insincere and unrealistic. Now, I don't think what he's saying is, do not have a medical condition. He's not saying, just get over it. Stop worrying. Just snap out of it. Nor is Jesus saying here, do not be concerned about anything. Because, you know, sometimes the Apostle Paul, he talks about being anxious for the church, and that sounds like a good thing. But what does Jesus mean when he says, do not worry? What does Jesus mean when he says, do not be anxious? What does Jesus actually mean here in Matthew 6? Author and pastor David Platt, here he defines anxiety, he defines worrying here in Matthew 6 as this. He says, anxiety is carrying concerns in this world in such a way that we lose perspective on life and or we lack trust in God. Anxiety is carrying concerns in this world in such a way that we lose perspective on life and or we lack trust in God. Now, it's one thing to be concerned about many things and certain things, but it's another thing to be so weighed down by our concerns that we lose perspective on life and we lose sight of God. And that is what Jesus wants us to be free from. Jesus does not want us to worry. Now, we're so tempted, you know, to focus on an issue And that issue sometimes grows bigger and bigger and bigger within us. And as that issue gets bigger and bigger, what often happens is God gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, so that we can get to the point where all we can see is the issue. We can feel the full weight of the issue on our lives. We can lose the perspective, God's perspective on life. But what does Jesus say to us? You know, this evening, as we stand on the threshold of a new year with our backpacks weighing us down, what is it that Jesus says? Well, here is what he says. This is the first thing that he says. He says, your life is about more than food or clothing. He says this, therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Why? Because life is more than food and the body more than clothing. I mean, why do we tend to worry about food, about drinking, about clothing? You know, we tell ourselves that we have the right to worry about these things, as they are pretty basic human needs. But I think our worries often go beyond those things that are basic. We worry that we might lose some things, and those things are pretty significant for us. You know, food gives us a lot of pleasure. My wife is a chef. She's also Japanese, which meant during the lockdowns, the most exciting thing about being in the lockdown was what we were going to have for dinner. Like, she can cook. And it felt sometimes that if she wasn't making dinner that night, our lives were miserable. And in our home, you know, breakfast became a big deal during lockdown. It became something that we looked forward to every morning. We took the time to cook a proper breakfast in the morning. Take that away, and we felt miserable. And it's not just about losing food. It's about losing other sources of pleasure. You know, if we don't have the right clothing, then we can lose people's admiration and interest. And how we look in our culture is a big deal. What other people think about us in our culture is a big deal. And it can be a massive source of anxiety for many people. You know, if we don't have access to food or water or clothing to protect us from the cold and heat, well, we can be worried that our lives might be stopped prematurely and we could lose living a long life. You know, we get anxious about food and clothing because we don't want to lose our physical pleasures. We don't want to lose praise from people, and we don't want to lose longevity of life. And Jesus says that if you are worrying about any of these things, then you have lost sight of what is really important in life. You've lost sight of what life is really about. Life was given to us primarily not for pleasure and entertainment, but for something much greater. Life was given for enjoyment of God. And life is primarily not about pleasing other people, but it's actually given for something much greater, and that is pleasing God. And life was not given primarily for us to plant deep roots on earth, but for something much greater than that, eternity with God. And so your life is so much more than the things that you worry about. Your life is about more than what people think of you. Your life is about more than how much money you earn. Your life is about more than whether you get married or whether you have kids. Your life is about more than what happens at school or at work. It's about more than, you know, how many A's your kids get in the future when they report card. And your life is about more than your own personal happiness. Your life is even about more than what happens to your health. See, Jesus goes on and says that life is all about trusting God, the God he eternally values and cares for you. Matthew 6:26 goes on and says this, "Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they?" You know, unfortunately, I'm not a great fan of birds. You know, whenever I go to the zoo, I want to go and see the monkeys, or I want to go and see the leopards or the lions and stuff like that. I am not interested in going to the aviary to walk around the aviary with just birds. I find birds incredibly boring. And so the last thing I want to do is to consider birds. But according to Jesus, if we want to counter our anxiety, then we should take an interest in birds. Maybe we should all take up bird watching. Because Jesus says, you know, he says, consider the birds. Birds do not worry the way that we do. Why? Because birds know that God will provide and he'll care for them. And Jesus says, we can know that too. Because we know that we are so much more valuable to God than birds. You are made in his image. You are God's prized possession. And Christmas reminds us that we are eternally valuable to God. And in the First World War in 1914, German, Scottish, and French soldiers, they were dug into trenches and they were ready to fight and to kill each other. But on Christmas Eve, one German soldier, he emerged from his tent, his trench, you know, singing a Christmas carol. But as he moved towards his enemy, you know, something miraculous took place. Soldiers, you know, they put down their weapons. Enemies put down their weapons, and there was a spontaneous peace. The soldiers, you know, they exchanged chocolate, they exchanged gifts, they played football, they played soccer together, and they sang Christmas carols together. You know, we are all created by God. We're all loved by God, yet we have dug trenches in our relationship with him. We tell him we want nothing to do with him. We're more than happy to live our life without reference to him, and so we make him our enemy. But the good news of Christmas and the good news of every Christmas is that God loves you and that God has not left you alone in your separation and hostility towards him. But rather, Jesus is born in a manger. He steps out of the trench. And as he walks towards us as enemies, we don't rush and welcome him, but rather we kill him and we hang him on a cross to die. But on that cross, you know, he takes on our separation. He takes on our hostility. He takes on our sin. He dies for your sin. And he takes the punishment that our sins deserve so that anyone from anywhere in the world who turns from their sins and who put their trust in Jesus will be forgiven of all their sin and restored into a right relationship with God for all eternity. And it's appropriate that a cross, you know, marks the place on that battlefield where enemies found peace at Christmas in 1914. Because Jesus died on the cross to give us peace. Eternal peace with God, peace with one another, peace within ourselves. God loves us that much. And so now bring all that to bear on Matthew chapter 6, verse 28, where Jesus starts talking about flowers and how well they are dressed. He says, "Observe the wildflowers of the field. Observe how the wildflowers of the fields grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothed the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith?" You know, God dresses wildflowers in beauty, despite the fact that they're here today and gone tomorrow. And if God dresses them the way that he does, why are you so worried about how you look? When God is going to dress you in eternal glory, why are you so worried about how much money you're going to earn or whether you're ever going to own your own house when God is going to give you the whole earth as your inheritance? Why do you get caught up in the politics of work or worry about your position or status. When you are going to reign in God's kingdom forever. Why do we get so flustered about our health when God himself has guaranteed us eternal life? You know, as John Piper has said, when we have finished carrying our crosses on torn shoulders in this life like Jesus, there will be kingly robes for us all. Your life is about so much more than all the things that are weighing you down. Your life is about trusting in a God who eternally loves you, a God who eternally cares for you, a God who eternally values you so much that he would die for you. And that completely, that totally changes our perspective. The third reason not to worry is there in verse 27. It's pretty straightforward. Worry is useless. Jesus goes on and says, can any of you add one moment to your life, one moment to his lifespan by worrying? You know, the argument, you know, is pretty straightforward. Worrying doesn't get us anywhere. It doesn't do us any good. It wears you down. It slows you down. It's useless. So Jesus says, don't worry. Worrying about all these things, well, it's an indication that we have lost perspective of what life is all about. Because Jesus says, the Gentiles eagerly seek after all these things. Anxiety about the things in this world puts us on the same level with those who do not know God. It puts us on the same level of those who have not experienced his grace and his love. And it shows that we are a lot like the world and what we think we need to be happy in life. And there's something off. There's something not right about that, because, again, Jesus says, for your heavenly Father knows what you need. You know, God knows what every single one of us needs right now and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. He knows what we need better than we even know ourselves. God is never blindsided. He's never stumped. He doesn't ponder over our needs. He just knows. And not only does he know, but he also provides us with all that we need. You know, he never runs out of strength when we are tired. He never runs out of courage when we are afraid. He never runs out of hope when we are hurting. And he will never run out of life when we are dying. Every moment for all of eternity, God is enough. Your heavenly Father will supply you with your every need. And so Jesus says, you know, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. You know, we're tempted, you know, to make our jobs or our career or our mortgages or our relationships, you know, the ultimate things that we live for. You know, to seek first after all these things. And then we promise ourselves that once we have mastered those things, we will start to take God a bit more seriously. But Jesus asks us, he commands us to have the right perspective in life, to focus our lives on living for him, living under his kingly rule, living his way, so that we can be free to receive everything that we need. You know, Jesus wraps up what he's been saying in verse 34 when he says this, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, we have no idea what next year will bring. You know, we have no idea what tomorrow will bring or what will happen in the next 24 hours. You know, sometimes we have memes, and memes are great because they kind of initially take a bit of a sting out of stuff, and then we kind of start reflecting. we can actually become quite miserable afterwards because it starts stinging. Because the future can be a massive stress for so many people. But bringing those stresses, those worries, that we have for tomorrow and for the next day and into the future, even into 2022, they are not helpful. For God gives us mercy. He gives us help for the troubles that we face each day, not for the imaginary ones that might never happen. I don't know what tomorrow holds in my life. I don't know what tomorrow holds in your life or in the world. But I do know that tomorrow's mercy from God will be sufficient for tomorrow's trouble in this world. And this means that you and I have no reason to worry for a second about what tomorrow holds. Because when we get there, new mercy from God will be waiting for us. And that guarantee, you know, it frees us from worry. You know, right now, this evening, you know, some of us this evening, maybe many of us this evening, we are weighed down by worry. And peace can often evade us. But the good news, the good word from Jesus this evening is that Jesus wants to free us from worrying. He wants to give you peace. He wants to free you from the weight of worry and any fears that you might have, any fears that you might be having about next year, if you will but trust in him and cast your cares on him. You know, I've been carrying this pack for the last 20 minutes, and it's actually increasingly getting heavy. I can kind of start feeling the sweat, you know, dripping down my head, you know, and to be honest, I don't want to carry it anymore. So, here you go. I'll get James at the very back. James, you want to come down to the front? I think I want to take it off. And I want to give it to James. Ugh. Thank you, James. You can put it on.
Okay, yep. That's heavy.
You know? So, it's one thing to give the weight to someone else. Rawr, I'm feeling really strong now. But the reality is, you know, James isn't able to carry that. None of us are. We can share our problems, we can share concerns with one another, but ultimately, you know, James isn't the one that we cast our cares on. We need to cast our cares on Jesus. Do we have a strong person, James, we can ask? You go, Terry. You've already been up once. Come on. Terry's probably a bit like me, the other big guy in the house this evening. I want you to imagine, you know, Terry kind of represents Jesus this evening. Big shoes to fill tonight, Terry. But, you know, Jesus says that we are to cast our cares on him. And that's what we're doing now. James is casting his cares upon Jesus. And that's the picture I want you to have this evening. That's the picture I want you to have this week. Because tomorrow, you will be tempted to pick up that backpack again. But I want to encourage you, don't do it. You know, it's a daily battle. But again, it's not just about giving your backpack or giving your worries to Jesus. There's even a better way. Because it's not just about giving our worry to Jesus, but it's also about giving your life. How do you have peace at the end of a tough year with so many uncertainties in 2022? Well, here's how. You trust Jesus with everything, with your entire life. Jesus says, I will carry you. Jesus says, I will take personal responsibility to take care of you. And so this evening, I want to encourage you, will you trust in Jesus this evening? Will you give him not just your worries, but will you give him your very self that he might be your peace this Christmas? I want to invite you to bow your head together as we wrap up this evening. I just want to pause for a moment, and I want you to answer these questions. Do you know Jesus as your peace this evening? Do you know God as your loving Heavenly Father because you've put your faith in Jesus, because you trust in Jesus? And if your answer this evening is not a clear yes, then I want to invite you to put your faith in Jesus tonight. I want to invite you to pray this with me. Dear God, I know I have ignored you and I am separated from you because of my sin. But today I am saying I need you to save me from my sin. Forgive me. Today I believe that Jesus died on a cross for my sin, that he rose from the dead to victory over sin and death. And so today I trust in Jesus as my life, as my peace. And I also want to pray for the rest of us this evening. Lord, I pray that we will know, we will feel, we will realize your peace this Christmas. I pray that we would know that we have peace with you and know that you have taken personal responsibility for the provision of our every need. And I pray that when we're tempted to pick up that backpack with all kinds of weights and worries this week, please help us to put it back down. Help us to cast our cares upon you because you care for us. Help us to trust you, and please help us to be quick to jump into your arms and let you carry us.